Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There is a simple little cocktail that a lot of people are addicted to. It has two ingredients. The first is norepinephrine, which is a painkiller. The second is epinephrine, or adrenaline. So in one dose, you get both the numbing of your pain and an energy boost. Not a bad combination, right? You can see why a lot of people are addicted to it. And I'll admit, sometimes I like it. And I bet you do too. It's something we get from our own brains. In 2008, Dr. Leon Seltzer, a psychologist from Del Mar, California, wrote an article for Psychology Today. In it, he talked about the chemicals that our brain releases when we're angry. He wrote, "A person or situation somehow makes us feel defeated or powerless. And reactively transforming these helpless feelings into anger instantly provides us with a heightened sense of control. If anger can make us feel powerful, if it's the magic elixir that seemingly is able to address our deepest doubts about ourselves, then it's no wonder why it can end up controlling us. In a sense, it's every bit as much a drug as alcohol or cocaine. And it's my strong belief that many, many millions of people worldwide are addicted to anger because of its illusory, empowering aspects. So when you're angry, your brain releases norepinephrine, which dulls the pain you feel at being hurt. And it also releases epinephrine, which gives you the adrenaline rush of wanting to hurt the other person back. Basically, anger is how we try to maintain control when we don't feel like we have control. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Now, on the surface, today's gospel reading is a nice little morality lesson about forgiveness. God has forgiven you, so you should forgive others. That's good advice, but it's not good news. Nor is it so easy to do. Plus, Jesus' parables aren't Aesop's fables. Right? They're not meant to give a nice little moral lesson at the end. Instead, his parables are like narrative time bombs. They blow up the way we think the world should work. So how does this parable blow up our world? Well, I think one way to look at it is to check out the slave's anger. But first, we need to recap to see why he's angry. Right, this slave owed his master 10,000 talents. Now, since one talent was worth more than 15 years worth of wages, he owes him 150,000 years worth of salary. To translate that into today's money, using minimum wage of $7.25 as a base, he owes over $2 billion. That's ridiculous. Both in the sense of being a really large number and in the sense of just being unbelievable. Right? There is no way that somebody who makes minimum wage could pay back a $2 billion debt. And so he begs for mercy, because that's all he can do. The master has pity on him and forgives the entire debt. But that's ridiculous too. Because who in their right mind would write off that large of a debt? It's unbelievable. But it happened. And so you would think that since this slave had been forgiven, that he would forgive others. That's what the little morality lesson tells us, right? But that's not what he does. Instead, he comes upon his fellow slave who owed him 100 denarii, which was worth 100 days' wages. Or again, using today's money, about $5,800. Clearly not as much as $2 billion, but still a good chunk. He seized his fellow slave by the throat and demanded to be paid. When the other slave couldn't pay, he threw him in prison. So instead of being grateful and merciful, this slave is vengeful and angry. He nearly chokes this guy to death. Now, maybe he's angry at not getting his money back. But I wonder if he's lashing out because he's really angry at his master. And I say that because forgiveness takes the control out of your hands. And anger tries to take it back. I think of it this way. How often has someone done something nice for you, and now you feel like you owe them something in return? Right, you have to treat them to dinner next time because they bought dinner for you now. You have to babysit their kids because they babysat yours. You have to buy them an expensive present because they bought you one. So many of us live with this tit-for-tat mentality. We even have phrases like, I am in your debt, or I owe you one. Which means once you pay back the favor, then you're even. Right? The account's been settled. In the same way, $2 billion is a large number. But it's still a number. The slave even says to his master, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. The odds of him actually doing that are incredibly slim, but theoretically he could pay it back. Forgiveness, though, doesn't work like that. Forgiveness can't be paid back. So in being forgiven, this slave has to admit that there are things in his life that can't be measured. He has to admit that the things in life that really count can't be counted. And that means he's not in control. And he doesn't like that. And it makes him angry. Just like it did for Peter. Right, this reading follows right after the one we heard last week about how Jesus wants healthy relationships, especially in the church. And it begins when Peter asks him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Well, 7 seems pretty good, right? Give him a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance, a sixth chance, a seventh chance. But eventually you have to stop giving them extra chances. because they're just not going to change their ways. There's got to be a limit on forgiveness, right, Jesus? Peter is trying to fit forgiveness into the system of measuring and counting. He's trying to put the square peg in the round hole, so to speak. And so Jesus told him, not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times. Or as some translations say, 70 times 7 times. Now, whether that means 77 or 490, Jesus is not raising the forgiveness limit here. Instead, he's saying there is no limit. It's like he said to Peter, okay, you want a number? You want to be able to keep score? You want to know how many times you should hold back your anger? Well, then how about you forgive them a bazillion times? Try counting that high, Peter. Jesus is purposefully exaggerating here to make a point. When it comes to following Jesus, counting doesn't work. But forgiveness does. And yeah, we know that we should forgive others as God has forgiven us. We've heard that a bazillion times before too. But let's be honest. Sometimes, like that first slave, we get angry. And perhaps, like that first slave to his master, we get angry at God. That's because forgiving others just doesn't sound right to us. It doesn't sound fair. It doesn't sound like the way this world should work. We would rather God play by our rules instead of us play by God's rules. And so we get angry at God for demanding that we live in a countercultural kind of way. And so because of that, sometimes we don't live the way God wants. Like sometimes we might come here on Sunday mornings and then spend the rest of the week as if Sunday morning didn't matter. We want to be in control of our own lives. We want to live how we see fit, not how God sees fit. Forgiveness takes that power out of our hands. And being angry at God tries to take the power back. But be warned, if God were to play by our rules, then look at the end of the parable. The master hears that the slave decided to live his own way instead of the master's way, and so the master lives that way too. And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Basically, if we want to grab somebody else by the throat, we've got to let God grab us by the throat too. But thankfully, though, that does not happen. God will not play by our rules. God gives us a new way of living, and that completely changes our world. That's the power and the punch of this parable. That's the good news. God is in charge and we are not. Forgiveness cannot be measured. And God's way of living is ridiculous. And it really happens. Grace and mercy and forgiveness really do happen. Even through us. Right? Think about your brain again. Anger may pour chemicals into the amygdala, the part of our brain that controls emotion. But we also have the more developed prefrontal cortex, the part of our brain that's responsible for judgment and reason. And the prefrontal cortex can keep the amygdala in check. Or in other words, we can choose to stop our addiction to anger. Just like people who choose to stop their addiction to alcohol or cocaine, it may take time or professional help or both, but it can be done. We can choose to live in the way of forgiveness. We can choose to play by God's rules. We can choose to be so countercultural that people will think we're ridiculous. But you know, that's okay. Because if a parable can turn our world around, then we can turn the larger world around too. That's just what happens when we follow Jesus. And so in the name of this one whose forgiveness changes our world, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.